everyone, and thank you all for being here on another gorgeous day. And we also are in sorrow this day because we lost our sister Fran on Wednesday, and we pray for the family. And I know that Bill said that those last two songs, "It Is Well With My Soul" and "Where the Soul Never Dies," was Fran's favorite song, so he sang them for her. And thank you, Bill. They're beautiful songs too. And all of us need to keep Bill and Debbie in our prayers. So what is sin, and how do people sin? The Bible is very clear and definite about this subject. I want to look at several passages just as we start. I want to go to Romans 14 and verse 23. And we're going to define what sin is in these passages. Romans 14, 23. Here we find, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." If you would, turn over to James chapter 4 and look at verse 17. This is one to remember. "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Additionally, we're told in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Let's go to 1 John. We'll spend the next couple of passages there. 1 John 3 and verse 4. John says, "For sin is a transgression of the law." Very simple. And if you would turn to 1 John 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "All unrighteousness is sin." 1 John 1 and verse 8. 1 John 1 verse 8. John also said, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Finally, I want to turn to 1 John 1 and verse 10. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." If we put all these together and consider what they say, we find there are several ways which man can sin, and that sin is common to all men. If we violate God's law, we have sinned. If we violate our own consciences, doing something we believe to be wrong, we have sinned. If we neglect to do the good things that we know we should, we have sinned. And if we deny that we're sinners, that in itself is a sin. The result of sin is separation. Separation from God now and eternally if nothing is done about it. Look at Isaiah 59, if you would, with me. Isaiah chapter 59. We find in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." My friends and brethren, be clear about this. All accountable people are sinners. All accountable people at some time or another sin. Romans 3:23 kind of sums it all up with these words, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now I suppose that it's human nature for people when they sin to attempt in various ways to cover their sin. Indeed, the Bible is filled with examples of people who went about seeking to do that very thing. Even the very first man and woman, when they had sinned, immediately sought to cover up what they had done. So how did they do it? Well, one of the ways is found in Genesis 3, verses 8 and 10, and I want us to read that together. Genesis chapter 3, we'll read verses 8 through 10. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking, of Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, Lord God, among the trees of the garden. Verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Thus, having sinned, Adam and Eve sought to hide from God as though that would somehow hide the fact of their sin. An important lesson to be learned here is this. We can't hide our sins from God, brother. You can't hide your sins from God. Turn to Psalms 139, and I'll show you why. Psalms 139. Psalms 139, verses 7 through 12, really puts it in perspective. It says, Where shall I go from my spirit, or whither shall I flee from my presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be the light about me. Verse 12, Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and light are both alike to thee. You can't hide your sins from God, brethren. Don't try. King Saul, you remember old King Saul, he was another who attempted to cover his sins, but he used a very different approach. Turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, if you would. First Samuel chapter 15. Now first we're just going to read verse 3, where Saul was given his orders from the Lord. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 3. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Now that was pretty clear, wasn't it? Utterly destroy Amalek, the people and the animals that they possess. Very easy to understand. Well, let's skip down to verses 8 through 11. In these verses, we see what Saul actually did. The passage says, And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Verse 9, But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, Verse 11, It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. So here was Saul. He's caught in the sin of disobedience. So how was he going to handle it? Would he immediately admit his guilt, or would he attempt to cover his sin in some way? Look at verse 15. And Saul says, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and to the rest we have utterly destroyed. So you see here, Saul used a very common method to try to cover his sin. Blame it on somebody else. He said the people did it. Today, nobody seems willing to assume responsibility for their actions. Everybody wants to blame everybody for what they do. It's their mom and their dad's fault. A society made them do it that way. They're a product of their environments. Blame anybody or everybody, but don't blame me. Well, Samuel responded to Saul in verse 22. by saying that, look with me. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than of the fat of the rams. So it's clear, brethren, we can't cover our sins by blaming others for what we do. It just does not work that way. Let's look at another person who attempted still a different way to cover his sins. Go to Matthew, the 14th chapter, if you would. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, at that time the tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works to show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Verse 4, for John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Herod was sinning. He was living in adultery, married to someone to whom he had no right to be married. And when Herod had John's head cut off, did that cover his sin? No, he got rid of the preacher, but he didn't get rid of the sin. It's sad today that even though most are not killing the preachers who teach the truth on divorce and remarriage, many are still getting rid of the preacher when they are married to someone to whom they have no right to be married to, instead of getting rid of the sin. Look with me at Acts, the 7th chapter now, please. Acts, the 7th chapter. It's interesting, if you would look at Acts 7, we find Stephen preaching Jesus to the Jews. And he concluded his message in verse 51 through 53 with these words. Verse 51 of Acts 7. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. Verse 53. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Well, the people who heard this, just as guilty as they could be, how did they respond? They responded by stoning Stephen to death. That's how they responded. They got rid of the preacher who was preaching things they didn't want to hear. They got rid of the preacher who was laying bare their sins before them, but they did not get rid of their sin. Simply removing the person who points out sin does not cover a sin. It just does not work that way. Well, you may ask, what about time? If enough time goes by, won't that cover sin? I mean, with enough time, most people forget about it. No, time does not cover sin. Let me tell you something, brethren. Sins can only be covered by the blood of Jesus. And only then, when God's divine law has been complied with. I'm going to read a few verses on this to show you what I'm talking about. Turn to Ephesians 1 and verse 7, if you will. About the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Now, if you would, look at Romans 3 and verse 24. Romans 3 and verse 24. The Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Then in Romans 5 and verse 9, turn over there. Romans 5 and verse 9. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Through Jesus' blood, we are saved from wrath. Jesus took it all upon his shoulders. He took it all, the wrath. And we're saved from wrath by his blood. There is no covering of sins available without the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The saving power is in the blood. Now then, there are two classes of accountable people. There are those who have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there are those who are children of God. Mark it down, brethren. Both are in need of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. The first class absolutely must become believers in the Lord. Look with me at John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, in verse 24, we find Jesus saying, I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. These people absolutely must repent of their sins that they have committed. It's not optional, brethren. It is not optional. It is imperative. Now let's go over to Luke 13th chapter. Luke the 13th chapter, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then the penitent believer absolutely must confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, go with me to Acts, the 8th chapter, if you would, please. Acts the 8th chapter, and let's look at verse 36 through 37. As they went on their way, there came unto a certain water, and a eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? In verse 37, Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a statement. The eunuch did what Philip told him to do to be saved. He didn't say, well, wait a minute, I want to wait a while, I want to think about it. Or he didn't say, I'm not sure that I really believe this. Or, I want you to prove to me again why water baptism saves and so on. No, he believed what Philip told him to do and he didn't hesitate. He did it immediately. When the requirements of believing, repenting, and confessing have been made, these people absolutely must be baptized in water for the remission of sins by the authority of deity. We all know this verse, Acts 2, verse 38. I want us to turn there, if you would, please. I want you to think about what's going on here. This is the day of Pentecost. Thousands and thousands were in Jerusalem for the Passover. Peter preached a sermon to them. He accused them of killing the Son of God. And they said, what do we need to do to be saved? They didn't know at that time. No one did. Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When this has been done, brethren, the blood of Jesus removes sins. If you look at Acts 22 and verse 16 with me quickly, if you would, please. Acts 22 and verse 16 assures us with these words. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're not a Christian and you want your sins covered, forgiven, you're going to have to do these things. You have to. These are not suggestions, my friends. These are God's requirements. Now, if you would, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. Now, the second class of accountable people in need of the blood of Jesus to cover or cleanse them of their sins are the children of God, those that have already become children of God. John tells us that we will sin, as we've already read and seen in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 10. We read it earlier. But then the middle verse, verse 9, John wrote these words. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is it that cleanses us from all unrighteousness? Well, look at verse 7 of 1 John 1. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When does this take place? When those sins are confessed, as verse 9 makes it clear. By way of example, we have Simon of Acts 8. He was a child of God. You remember that? He had sinned. Let's look at Acts 8. Here we see a child of God sinning. He's already been baptized. He confessed Jesus, Son of God, and he repented and so on. In Acts 8, he sinned. He was instructed in verse 22. He says, repent therefore of thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So you see, my friends, God has provided the only way for sins to be covered or forgiven. We can't hide our sins. We can't blame others for our sins or get rid of the person who points out our sins to us or just depend on the passing away of time to take care of them. If God's law is not obeyed, there is no way one can be saved now or in the time to come. Jesus saves only those who will obey him. I want to look together with one more passage as Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, very familiar passage. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9, and being made perfect, he, that's Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Again, brethren, obedience, obedience, obedience. That's the theme of the Bible, obedience. We're all accountable. We've all sinned. If you have listened this morning, you know what to do. There's no reason not to do it. Salvation is only in Christ Jesus. And a Christian who will not confess his public sin has either not repented of it or is too proud to admit his mistakes. That's another sin. God says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. He says that in Proverbs 28 and verse 13. I beg and plead with anyone here this morning who has sinned against God, has not asked for forgiveness. Please take this opportunity to do so now by asking God for forgiveness. And then coming forward, let us pray with you and pray for you. And if you're not a Christian, you too need to come forward and repent of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. If we can help anyone in any way make their life right with God, I beg you to come forward this morning. Again, Again, we said so many times, if you miss heaven, you missed it all. If you miss heaven, you have missed everything. Everything. Just think. If you miss heaven, you missed it all. And remember, we're all just a breath away. One breath away from eternity. Think about it. Stand, let's stand as we stand. Stand, please, as we sing. Bill?